Hello, and welcome back for Lesson 2 of the Interpreting Scripture course. We'll be looking at general principles for interpreting and applying the Bible. In Lesson 3 and 4, we'll look at more of the literary principles specific for the Old Testament and the New Testament. Just to recap from Lesson 1, we talked about the importance of how we approach the Bible and it being about personal transformation and fellowship and knowing God, and not merely for knowledge. So on with that thought in mind, the first principle is the importance of incorporating prayer throughout our time reading scripture. It's asking God to give us understanding and insight. And let's look at Luke 24, verse 45. It says, "Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures." And the context of this verse is post-resurrection. The word had gotten out that Jesus had rose from the dead, but no one knew where he was at. So there are two disciples walking on the road, reflecting all that had happened during Jesus' ministry. Jesus comes alongside them, but they do not recognize it's Jesus. He begins to ask them what they are talking about. They are sad and respond, "How do you not know?" He begins to explain that all that had happened had to take place to fulfill what the prophets spoke about. They asked Jesus to stay with them, and they had a meal together. Jesus broke the bread, gave thanks, and then their eyes were opened to recognize him. Jesus disappeared, and they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" I think you get the point. They had heard about scripture and seemed to have known scripture, but it wasn't until they were communing with Jesus that they gained understanding. So they went from a intellectual knowledge to actually having a knowledge that was impacting their hearts. So prayer is a foundational way to commune with Jesus, and should be included for effective Bible reading. Another thing on this point is that when you come to a prayer in scripture, make it personal. One of my favorite is Ephesians 3, verse 14 through 21. It says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or think, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So I pray this prayer over myself, but also recognizing that Paul was praying this over those in the Ephesus church. So I see this as an intercessory prayer, and I pray it for other people. Next is, effective Bible reading involves repetition. So read the same passage or book several times and in different translations. As was said in the first lesson, scripture was not written in English. It was originally written in the ancient language. So most of the Old Testament is written in Hebrew. Some is written in the sister language, Aramaic. So half of Daniel, a couple of chapters in Ezra. And then you have the New Testament that is written in Greek. So thank God we have those who have translated the Bible for us into English. And it can be helpful to know the different approaches that has been taken, which explains why we have so many different versions. So one category is this idea of formal equivalence. So this is a attempt to translate the Bible from the ancient language to English as literally as possible, keeping the sentence structure and idioms intact if possible. So examples of this is the English Standard Version, the New American Standard Bible, the King James Version. Second is functional equivalence. So this is an attempt to keep the meaning of the Hebrew or Greek, but to put the words and idioms into what would be the normal way of saying the same things in English. So examples of this is the New International Version and New Living Translation. So they're looking more at adjusting the grammar to be how based on our grammar rules. A third way is called free translation, and this is an attempt to translate the ideas from one language to another with less concern about using the exact words of the original language. And an example of this is the Message Bible. So if you want to read more about that, then this book by Gordon Fee is where that description came from. So in chapter 2, you could read more details on that. And this is called How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth. Next is effective Bible reading involves reading both quickly and slowly. So by reading quickly, it helps to give us a overview of the material. And this is about less pauses, just getting the big picture. And if this is hard for you, one practical thing to do would be just to listen to it and don't press pause and just keep going, knowing that this is giving you the big picture, so that when you do spend time looking at the details, you have like when you're doing a puzzle, you have that framework in mind. So next is obviously reading slowly gives us insight into the material. And next, effective Bible reading involves careful observation of details. And fourth, effective Bible reading involves interaction with the text through writing. So taking notes regarding your observations, writing down questions. So there is a document that you should have in your binder that is just a template that I like to use. It's adaptive from what Pastor Dave uses for preachers in the homiletics course, but it's basically just so that you can have an idea of, or you can have a chart to help you organize your thoughts as you're looking to pay attention to the relationship between the words of verses that you might be studying. And then fifth, effective Bible reading involves systematic reading. So this is having a reading plan to help you go through the Bible. And this is because the authors in the Bible, they are quoting each other a lot. And if they're not directly quoting each other, they are alluding to past stories all the time. So it's important to have this sense of what's going on. And an example is the Exodus story of the Israelites being delivered from Egypt. And That story is referenced in just about every book in the Bible. Even in Revelation, the seven plagues there, the descriptions are very similar to the 10 plagues in Exodus. So next, this next portion is some questions to ask when you read the Bible. So effective reading involves bombarding the text with questions. Ask questions, as many questions as you can think of that's good and helpful. And I'm going to read through these questions that are just example of things to ask, and you might come up with other questions, general questions yourself, that you think would be good to begin to practice asking as you're reading. So one is, who is writing? Who is he writing to and why? What's the author's subject? What is the life situation of the author? What's the life situation of the hearers? How does the author's culture and historical setting affect the writing? How does the grammatical structure of the verse, passage, or book affect the message? What is the point of the verse, paragraph, chapter, or book? What is the flow of thought? What important words or phrases are repeated? What do they mean? What did the passage mean to the first hearers? Right, next are some guidelines to interpret the Bible. So there are several general principles to keep in mind. So first is context. Any text must be understood in light of its given context. So this is to say, a verse should not be taken out of its context and given an imposed meaning. We must consider the flow of thought, the verses that come before and after, as well as the overall content and themes of the biblical book in which it occurs. So, for example, in 3 John verse 2, it says, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health and it goes well with your soul. So the prosperity gospel has used this verse as a proof text that accumulating material wealth and having good health is a indication of being blessed, and also they've done it to the degree where being blessed spiritually and with things are seen as inseparable. So this idea of sowing, if you sow into a ministry and positive talk and you envision it, and you will prosper in material and health. This has led to people questioning if their faith in God is real when they don't prosper in this way. We can see the problem with this interpretation of the verse when we look at all of 3 John, and it's one chapter. The gist of it is the Apostle John starts with a prayer for his friend Gaius that he would enjoy good health and that all may go well, even as his soul is getting along well. So this is actually just a general introduction to a letter that was in a lot of ancient letters. So this isn't something that is out of the ordinary. But even more, as we continue to read, we see John describe Gaius as faithful to share the truth of the gospel to strangers. And these strangers went on to share the truth with others. John was encouraging him to continue in the example he had set of giving of himself so that the truth would be known. And then John also later on rebukes a leader who likes to put himself first and doesn't acknowledge authority. So in short, it's ironic that a text that is used to promote the accumulation of things and wealth is actually promoted a leader who was giving of himself to help others grow in truth and going out of his way to use his resources to show hospitality to strangers. And then it rebuked the guy who was all about doing stuff that put himself above others. Next is we consider it's this idea of comparison. So any text must be understood in light of other relevant texts. So this is best understood by the simple statement, scripture interprets scripture. So because God is the divine author of all scripture, the Bible possesses an overall unity. Therefore, comparing texts which address similar topics, themes, and principles is helpful to gain greater understanding of any given text. So no doctrine, which is authoritative teaching, should be formulated on the basis of one verse or passage of scripture. So, and then we'll talk about this next one too, and then I'll give an example. Progression. Any text should be understood in light of historical progressive nature of scripture. God did not give full truth at once, but unfolded progressively, step by step, with each portion giving further amplification and clarification without contradicting what came before. When we interpret a passage, we must consider the level of revelation that was available at the time it was written. So we can continue along the theme of prosperity. So when we look at that theme throughout scripture, we see that material blessings can be a sign of God's favor, but it is not to be seen as an indication of our spiritual state. Material blessings and health are meant to strengthen our faith and point us to God, but it doesn't indicate we aren't prospering or blessed. The ultimate indicator of the favor of God is to have our eyes open to the work of Jesus on our behalf, to be in right standing with God, is to have fellowship with Him. And byproducts is that we do get a foretaste of healing and blessings that result, that manifest in material, but those things are not taught as being equated together, our spiritual state as well as the state of our bank account or our health. So we see that when we look at the Old Testament. The Old Testament law has to be taken into account, which talks about the relationship between obedience and blessing, consequences for disobedience. That needs to be taken into account when we talk about what the scriptures say about being blessed or prospering. The Sermon on the Mount needs to be taken into account when we're talking about what does it mean to be blessed. There's a verse that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So these themes and verses that we see throughout scripture, all of that should be taken into account before coming up with a doctrine on what it means to prosper and be blessed. All right, next is another principle when we're looking to interpret and apply scripture is looking at the background. So any text should be understood in light of his historical, cultural, political, and geographical background. So in terms of historical background, it involves who was the author, to whom did he write and why, what was happening to the people he wrote to. So often the author and audience is given in the text. Now what's going on behind the scene is a little more obscure, and often referencing a Bible dictionary or commentary is needed in order to get that information. So here is a resource that is helpful. It's called the Essential Bible Companion, and it will give you a overview of each book of the Bible. So one page for each book of the Bible, just to go through just the essentials of the purpose of the book. Some of the cultural details is given. So this is a really good resource. And furthermore, when we're talking about the cultural and political background, general thing that has been helpful for me is just thinking about which other nations is involved with what's going on in scripture. Especially let's look at the Old Testament, or talk about the Old Testament real quick. So first is Egypt, right? Israel is very much impacted with what's going on in Egypt. So recognizing that as you read is helpful. And then when you start getting into, once Israel becomes its own nation and its and a monarchy, and then it divides, then you're looking at, well, which nations are impacting this? So I like to just think of three letters, which is A, B, P. So we got Assyria, we got Babylon, and we have Persia. Those are the three nations that when you're reading the prophetic books, knowing which nation or looking for which nation is being talked about will be helpful in keeping up with what's going on. So Assyria is the nation that led to the divide of Israel. So when Israel was still, you had Israel, you had the 10 nations at the top that's called Israel, and the two at the bottom that's Jerusalem. So the scattering of northern Israel is due to Assyria. And then after that, you have Judah, which is the southern half of Israel. Babylon is the nation that takes over for them. And then after they come back from Babylon, you have Persia, who is in control of Israel and most of the ancient world. So understanding that these nations and their way of life is impacting Israel is very helpful for recognizing what's going on in the text. And then once you have this idea of looking at these various things, then you actually want to start to think about, well, how does this apply to my life? So what we're trying to do is we're trying to go from the ancient world to our world. And asking these questions is basically us building a bridge to go from one world to the next. So these are questions that we want to ask in order to begin to apply it to our lives, which is, what is it that I learn about the nature of God? What is it that I learn about the character of God? What do I learn about God's covenants? What is revealed about God's heart towards his people? What is revealed about God's plan? Is there an example for me to follow? Is there a sin to avoid? Is there a promise to claim? Are there conditions that need to be met? Is there a prayer to adapt and pray? Is there a command to obey? Is there wrong thinking to correct? So, to recap this, We want to ask all of these various questions. But even in general, there are two basic Bible study methods. And these two examples, basically is your homework, is to pick one of these examples and to practice. So the first one is expository study. So an expository study is one that examines what a particular section or book of the Bible teaches. Most of the books of the Bible were deliberately composed as complete units and thus should be studied as such. Each book has its own unique purpose, message, and core themes and subjects. So here are some steps you can take to do an expository study. Select a section of scripture or an entire book of the Bible. If it's a section, familiarize yourself with the broader flow of thought in a biblical book in which it is situated. Read through the section or book several times from several quality translations. Observe the words and phrases that seem to be key to understanding the author's purpose. Observe the author's logical thought progress. What is he trying to say and why? What is his central theme? Write a summary of your overall understanding of the text. So this is homework option number two. Another basic way to study the Bible is to do topical study. So a topical study is one that examines what the entire Bible teaches about a particular subject. So kind of like when I was talking about prosperity or what it means to be blessed. It cross-referenced many verses from Genesis through Revelation. A word study is similar to a topical study. It examines how a particular word instead of a particular topic is used throughout scripture. So here are some steps you can take to do a topical study. Select the topic to study. Look up all the relevant verses you know on the topic. So a good source for this is the Blue Letter Bible. If you type in a word, say you want to study love, it will pull up every verse in the Bible that talks about love. Follow the cross references in your Bible or in a Bible software program, just like Blue Letter Bible. Write out the verses that are particularly insightful. Record your observations, especially for the verse deemed especially important. Analyze and group the material into related subtopics. Write out a summary of your overall observations and insight. And then for this one too, especially for your homework, so this is option one, it's okay to decide, I'm gonna pick a theme like love, but I'm only gonna look at, start off by looking at a certain portion of scripture. So for instance, you can look at the Johannine literature on love, which is basically all of the books that are attributed to the Apostle John, which would be the Gospel John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Revelation. So you can look at the theme of love just in those books as a way of starting out instead of doing the whole Bible. And then lastly, remember that as you are practicing, interpreting, and applying the Bible, the most important tool for your study of the Bible is your Bible. So we talked about the various translations, but remember that as you want to gain insight for yourself and then use other resources to kind of fill in those gaps instead of going to the resources first and then going to scripture, trusting the Holy Spirit to meet you there and to give you insights.